alone. He really is, through the good times and the bad. And we just came through another week, and some of your days, from your perspective, may have been very good. Maybe they were very challenging. But God is still on his throne this morning. And so this coming week, whatever you face, Lord willing, whatever we face this week, God is still going to be on his throne. No matter what decisions we make, no matter what curveballs come down the road for us, maybe things will go exactly how we planned this week. Maybe they won't. But God is still on his throne. And he's going to be there this week as well. He is. Just being sovereign. Being the Lord of Lords, being the King of Kings, that's who he is. He's God, and he cares greatly. So thank you so much for that. Another song that I really liked was just Glory to God Forever. You know, take my life, let it be all for you and for your glory. It's just completely saying, God, I'm just surrendering my life. Saying, it's all for you and for your glory. Glory to God forever. And ever. And so bless you as you surrender your life and just giving it to God and say, God, take my life and let it be. All for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. So that was just so beautiful. Thanks, Lauren. You did a good job. Very well done. I don't know if I ever saw you play guitar. I saw you play bass often. This morning when we came in, Isaiah said, is Lauren going to lead worship singing with his bass? I said, I don't know. So, well done. Thank you so much for that. We're going to do the offering, and then we'll keep going. The offering this morning is for our missions fund. So we'll have a word of prayer for that. Daniel Heisey, do you mind then getting the basket back there? Oh, Miguel. Absolutely. Sorry. Yes, Miguel is a pro at this. Thanks, Miguel. We're going to have a word of prayer for the offering. Miguel, when you're finished then, if you can get the money to Daniel Heisey, if you could just take it, count it, put it in, and then write it. There's a book there. So thank you for that. All right. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that you're on your throne. And Father, I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to come before your throne and into your presence and experience your presence like we are this morning. Father, your presence is beautiful. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and for the work that you're doing in our lives this morning. As we just come before the throne and we worship you and we honor you and we bless you and we say, holy, holy are you, Lord. Lord, this morning as we give toward the mission fund, thank you for blessing us. And I pray a blessing on the monies this morning, and particularly thinking of the mission fund, some of it gets used for Barb. Thank you for Barb this morning, and we just again pray a blessing on her that you would give her strength and courage this morning as she keeps fulfilling her responsibilities in Haiti. So I just pray a special blessing on her today. And so as we give to the ministry fund, I pray a blessing on the gift and giver in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Miguel, for that. So the offerings for the missions fund this morning. As far as announcements go, Jen had posted it on Facebook last night, but we also have a printed copy back on the bulletin board of host and hostess family that we're starting. And so make sure you look at that either on the document that got sent on Facebook or back there. Make sure you take that responsibility and take your turn. And obviously, if it doesn't work for you that Sunday, be sure that you switch with someone, but be responsible for that when you're scheduled. And then also that Sunday that you are the host and the hostess, you are also the greeter for that Sunday morning. So make sure you come, you know, a little earlier that Sunday morning, and that's part of your responsibility that day of just being a greeter, being out there by the door and welcoming people. All right, you got it? Any questions you can ask me or ask my wife? So any other questions about that Or any questions? Any questions?
Am I turned on?
Like yeah, are people listening in live? No.
Okay, that's fine. I'm good with not. I just wanted to be sure. Okay. Just wanted to confirm there. As far as announcements go, next Monday night, tomorrow night a week, again, we're having men's meeting. And I know some of you were there this past Monday night. Steve, you weren't there. And I was planning to get out minutes this week. And I asked Mike for the minutes, but I didn't get them yet. But I know Mike it was a difficult week. And so I just want to bless him. But that's why you didn't get it. No pressure at all. But for those of you that weren't there this past Monday night, tomorrow night, a week, we're having another men's meeting. And that is we had brought up the positions that we're looking to fulfill or to fill as a pastor assistant. And I had asked Seth Krause, since he's the superintendent here, and PJ, since he's worship leader, if them too want to be part of our, I'm calling it a pastor assistant team, to where we would meet monthly and just focus specifically on church. And so I brought that up Monday night, and obviously people wanted to talk to their wives about it and discuss it. But next Monday night, we would like to affirm that. Or if you have questions, if you don't agree with it, why, let me know as well. But I didn't want to wait for a whole other month. I just wanted to go 2 weeks here to get this ball rolling to form that pastoral team. That's why we're doing it early. And the overseer team, some of that stuff is I'm reprocessing some of that stuff with where we're at right now. So I'm not sure if that's going to come up. I didn't even talk to you about it next week or not, but I just am working through some of that stuff. So, all right, you got that? Awesome. So come next Monday night, tomorrow night a week. Next Sunday, we're planning to have communion here, and then also it's fellowship meal. So that's on the schedule for a week from today. All right, anything else? Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Amina. Prayer meeting again this Wednesday night at Ernie and Almina's at your house, 7:30. All right, 7:30 again this coming Wednesday evening. Prayer meeting at Ernie and Almina's house, and it's open to whoever wants to come. All right. Okay. Last week, does anyone remember what we talked about last week? I know some of you weren't here. But a specific theme that we talked about last week, do you remember any of it? Identity, yeah, absolutely. So we talked about identity last week, and I brought up 4 points last week about identity. We talked about being loved. You're loved, you're a child of God, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are valuable. So we talked about those 4 things last Sunday. I'm going to have a part 2 here this morning. 4 more points, and I'll probably conclude it after this week. But just this whole identity thing, to me, in the last several weeks, I have seen that it is very foundational. This is a big deal on really knowing who you are. And the more I studied it, the more I became aware of why. 2 weeks ago, we talked about temptation, and we talked about Jesus' temptations. And the first 2 temptations that Satan came to him, he used the same word. He said, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, dealing with Jesus' identity. The more I'm studying identity, the more I recognize why he did that. Because if you get someone's identity, if you get that person to completely believe or not believe who they are in Christ, and you get their identity messed up, it doesn't turn out very good. And there's also no wonder why Satan, behind this whole thing, even right now, this push, some people are growing up and their parents there don't even know which gender they are. Identity issues. But when you get the wrong identity and you don't know who they are, who you are as a person, I believe it just opens the door for Satan, and he can just do all kinds of things. And so that's why last Sunday and this Sunday, we're talking about true identity, and I'm just scratching the surface here, but I do believe this is very important, and just us recognizing who we are in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at a couple more, four more things today. Last week we talked about the identity part is you're loved, you're a child of God, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have value. This morning, I'm going to start with Ephesians 1 chapter, in Ephesians 1 verse 3. And I actually, before I start this message here, or as I start the message here, I want to pray or speak verse 2 to you as well. It's interesting when Paul opens up his letters to the Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and he does it here as well. In verse 2, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to start here, just speaking to you this morning, grace to you and peace from God our Father as we start this today. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So, the first thing I want to talk about here this morning in our identity in Christ is recognizing that we are blessed. And it doesn't take us long to recognize that we are blessed. We're extremely blessed. Now, we think of, in the midst of all the complaining and the instability and the things going around us, we are still blessed. We are. God has blessed us with so many things, and so often we focus on the things, the small things that we have an issue with, and we forget about all the blessings that we have. But that's part of our identity, in recognizing we are blessed. And so when you have that as part of your foundation, when something comes up that you have a struggle with, just recognize we're blessed. And here's what it says in this verse. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So now recognize where these blessings are coming from. It says God is blessing you. So the blessings he's talking, and we're looking at the spiritual blessings here. We're going to look at that just in a little bit. Spiritual blessings come from God. He's the giver. So he's the one that blesses you with all spiritual blessings. Now, what are spiritual blessings? Because it makes it very clear. He writes, he's blessing you with spiritual blessings. So what is that? What is spiritual blessings? I believe spiritual blessings are things that only God can give. A spiritual blessing is something that comes directly from God. Salvation, grace, peace, mercy, justification. Those things that come only from God are spiritual blessings, but they are a blessing. Forgiveness. God's forgiveness is a huge blessing. And so I believe that's what we're talking about here in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Luke 11, 28. I'm going to keep going through here so we can get these 4 points here. So we recognize we're blessed. Luke 11, 28 says this. It says, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. The Bible talks a lot about us being blessed. We know we're blessed. We live in America. Even if we wouldn't live in America, we're still blessed. We could go to a country that you hardly ever hear of. You're still blessed. Okay? It doesn't matter where we live. We're blessed. But there's also a lot of verses in the Bible with conditional blessing. Like, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. And so obviously if you don't do it, I believe it takes away a blessing. Luke 11, 28 is a great example. Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it, is what he's saying. The word of God, they hear it and then they keep it, is a blessing. Psalms 34, 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I love this verse. Experience God. Taste and see that he's good. Then he says, blessed is the man that trusts in him.
So you trust in God, it brings a blessing. That's what the Bible says. And so there's just a lot of conditional blessings in the Bible. A lot of them are centered around obedience and trusting in God. When you do these things, you'll be blessed. But point number one that I'll get this morning is you are blessed. Point number two, 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. And I'm going to read those verses. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 says, "Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious." Did you get that? Chosen by God and precious. "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word." Remember, just a little bit, we were talking about obedience and how that blessing, often obedience brings blessing. But here it says, being disobedient to the word, they stumble, to which they also are appointed. Verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now a people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Excuse me. So the second point that I want to get to, first of all, we recognize we're blessed. The second point here is in verse 4. There it is. I was looking for it. "Coming to him, the living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God." You are chosen by God. And when you think of being chosen is actually very important. We all want to be chosen. We all want to be accepted. For me, back in school, when I was in school, sometimes when you'd want to play baseball or softball, you'd go out for recess and you'd have a captain. And the captain would pick, you'd have two captains and you take turns picking who you want to be on whose team, And so it was good when you got, it felt good when you got chosen first, right? Like you're one of the first ones that are chosen. But if you were chosen last, it wasn't a good feeling. And it isn't a good feeling when you're not chosen. We like to be accepted. We like to be chosen. We like to be picked. It does something for us. Do you know that you're chosen by God? God picked you. You are chosen by God. You're accepted by the Heavenly Father. That's part of your identity. He chose you. We'll look at a couple verses just shortly as well. But studies have shown the younger you were when you were first rejected, the greater impact on your life. The younger you were when you were first rejected, the greater impact it had on your life. That's what studies say. Rejection is real. Hurt is real. Not being accepted is real. But being chosen is also real. And you are chosen by God. It's part of your identity. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says this, and I'm going to read I'm just going to read that verse as well. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says this, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before in love." Isn't that awesome? "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." So even before you were created, even before the foundation of the world, he knew you, and he says, "I choose you." You are chosen by God. This verse says you're chosen for certain things, or a certain thing. It says you're chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. That was one of the reasons why he chose you. is to be holy. And so that's part of your identity, is God chose you to be holy. And so there's a lot of verses that talk about being holy. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy as I'm holy. Holiness in the kingdom of God is very important. That's one of the reasons that he chose you, it says here. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. I'll just read those verses as well. And Isaiah 43, as it talks about, I don't know if you remember, a while ago I had a message on that chapter as well, talking about, thus says the Lord, he who has created you, he redeemed you, he formed you. When you walk through the, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And then through the rivers get a little deeper, they won't overflow you. When you go through the fire, that's even more intense, you won't be burned. That's on this chapter here. And then in verse 4, it says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I love you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. So not only are you chosen, but in the part of choosing, God says, I love you. And we talked about love last week as well. So number one this morning, part of your identity is you are blessed. Number two is you are chosen by God. He picks you. He does. Number three, part of our identity is recognizing that we are forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. But so often, I look at this verse, and we know this verse, a lot of us know this verse, but yet it seems like this is one where Satan just, you know, just really tests you. And comes and just starts, are you sure you're forgiven? You really messed up here. And this is just a great time to where when you look at Jesus' temptations, when Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written, it is written. And here in that specifically here, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. And so if Satan comes and says, are you sure you're forgiven? It is written, Satan, if I confess my sins, I'm forgiven. It is written. So part of our identity is recognizing that we are forgiven. Going back to chapter 43 in Isaiah, verse 25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. It's hard for us to not sometimes I wish I could remember things better than I do. Sometimes I wish I could forget things better than I do. But God, the Bible says that God, when we ask for forgiveness, we confess, God forgives, and he doesn't remember him anymore. That's what the Bible says. And so I believe that's all part of our identity in Christ, in recognizing that when God forgives, he forgets him as well. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our transgressions from us. See, this forgiveness thing is huge. We are forgiven. When we confess and ask for forgiveness, God forgives us. So part of our identity is forgiveness, is that we're forgiven. But forgiveness is also something we need to do to others. The Bible tells us that. Often, I'm not going to get into that, but I did want to bring this up because forgiveness also needs to be done to others. The Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we do what? Forgive others. You're asking the Lord that when you're saying the Lord's Prayer. So we are forgiven, but we must forgive others. That's what the Bible tells us to do, to forgive others. And that's how we're forgiven as well. As you forgive men their trespasses, that's how I will forgive you. And I look at Jesus, thinking of just Jesus hanging on the cross in agony and in pain, just being tortured. And you know what he says? to Jesus. This was not his last words, almost his last words. His last words were, it is finished, on the cross. But he said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is very important. It's a foundational part of identity. Knowing that we are forgiven, but it's also important for us to forgive others. So we're blessed, we're chosen, we're forgiven. Number four that I want to talk about this morning is we are capable. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal people, a holy nation, his own special people. We are capable. God says we are capable. And so to me, that's part of my identity, recognizing that what God asked me to do, I am capable of doing it. Satan may say, oh, no, you can't. Are you sure you can? It looks really big. God says you're capable. Philippians 4:13 is a verse that we probably all know. But let's think about it this morning and being capable. I can do all things. Now it keeps going, okay? Sometimes we just stop there. I can do all things. If you stop there, that's actually very much of a problem because you're saying, I can do all things. That's not right, okay? That's pride. It says, I can do all things through Christ. There's a huge difference between you doing something yourself or you doing something through Christ. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You see that? But that's part of our identity as Christians is that we're capable. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The strength comes from him. 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 10. I'm going to read those verses. Because it's just really good scripture here in 2 Timothy. This is the second book written to Timothy. Chapter 1. And just thinking of, you know, when I opened it up earlier in Ephesians, what Paul says, how he opened up the book, this is how he opens up Timothy as well. The second verse, he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just think it's, I love the way that Paul opens his letters. Grace, mercy, peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. I thank God who I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings in the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So, we're capable. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Spirit of fear and a power of love and sound mind are completely opposite. Okay? Fear doesn't come from God. Part of our identity is not fearing because the fear didn't come from God. Your identity as a child of God is I am capable. I don't have to give in to fear, but I have power, love, and a sound mind. And you put power and love and a sound mind together, it creates some amazing things. That's your identity in Christ. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's just awesome. You're of God, and little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. That's part of your identity. You're capable. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have will have in the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If you want a verse to think about right now in the times that we're in, process and just ponder and think about this verse. Jesus says, these are the things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Peace is something we all like. Where do you go to find peace? Like when you just want to have a little bit of peace, maybe you want a lot of peace, where do you go for that? Jesus says, in me is peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. It doesn't say you might, it says you will have. So the fruits of being in the world is tribulation. That's what it says. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's awesome. You're capable. So, these are just four things, again, we talked about this morning. You're blessed. You're chosen. You're forgiven. You're capable. You can do all things through Christ. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Now, how do you think about yourself? Okay, so last Sunday and this Sunday, we were talking about identity. And there's lots more verses about identity. And so just wrapping up here this morning, how do you feel about yourself? This was I'd heard someone else share this, and so now I'm going to share it with you as well. How you feel about yourself, your self-identity, is largely determined by what others think about you. Especially those closest to you whose opinions you care about the most. I'm going to say that again. How you feel about yourself, your self-identity, is largely determined by what others think about you. Especially those closest to you whose opinion you care about most. Your identity. How we think about ourselves, how we look at our identity, often comes from people that we care about most and we're closest to. So what I want to say this morning is make that person Jesus Christ. The person that is closest to you, the voice that you hear loudest, make that Jesus Christ as you form your identity, as you walk in your identity, not form it, you walk in your identity. Because God made your identity and you walk it out. Now, the question is, and this is a very important question, do you believe it? What God says you are, your identity in Christ. So last week and this week, the eight things that I talked about, last week we talked about you're loved, you're a child of God, you're a temple, and you have value. Today I talked about you're blessed, chosen, forgiven, and capable. Just those things. There's a lot more things in Scripture. But here's the question that you need to answer. Do you believe it? Who God says you are, do you believe that? Or do you believe what other people say you are? That is finding your identity, who you're listening to. And so, this morning, I just want to encourage you to find your identity in Jesus Christ. Because identity is a huge foundation in your life. last week I was talking to, I met with one of my mentors, and we were talking about a lot of different things, but specifically we were talking about some of this identity and thinking about addictions, and somehow we got on this subject of addictions. And he told me this, and it took me a little while to process this. But he was like, Dale, he said, all addictions, you know, whether it's smoking, drugs, alcohol, all addictions stem back to having a wrong identity. Because when you don't know your proper identity, you go and you seek and you pursue things. And those things don't have any resistance. When you start seeking alcohol, you start seeking drugs, those things don't resist you. But the more that I thought about, the more I think he's right. One of the root issues that come, or the reason you get involved in some of that stuff, is you not recognizing who you are in Jesus Christ and who you're meant to be, and that you are valued, you are loved, you're blessed, you're chosen, and you're capable. So I want to bless you with that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for who you say we are. Father, you're the one that created us. And so, Lord, this morning, we just want to say thank you for the plan and the purpose you have for our lives, each one here this morning. Father, I want to thank you that we are loved by you. Thank you, Father, for your love. Father, thank you that we are children, that we can be called sons and daughters of you. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that we have value. Father, thank you that we are blessed. And you bless us in so many ways. Father, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for forgiving us. And thank you that we are capable. And so, Lord, I'm asking, Father, that we would learn to walk and live in our identity of who we are as Christians. Father, help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to listen and help us to believe who you say we are. Father, if our identity is wrong, I'm asking this morning, Father, that you would change it in Jesus' name, that we could find our identity in you. We want to fulfill and we want to live our true identity. Thank you for your plan you have for us. We honor you in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks so much for coming. You guys are... you're dismissed, but remember...